Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is a new month, a new day, a new book of the Bible. It is just a great, great day. And I am so happy to be with you. I'm so happy to be a part of this ministry. I'm so just happy. Happy, happy, happy is how I feel this morning. Whew, I've been awake for a long time. Woke up this morning, as they say, with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I just feel that way. Today we're going to have, we're going to be in first book, a new book. We are in the Song of Solomon, yay, chapter 1. And we are going to be in chapter 1 this morning. But God put in my heart, I thought we was going to be in the Song of Solomon, but God put in my heart today to actually be in Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, finish off chapter 11 and go into chapter 12. Our title is coming out of chapter 12, but we're going to talk a little bit still about our new book, The Song of Solomon. And every time I think of it, I always think of love and marriage. You know, love and marriage, because it's a book about love. It's about intimacy between a husband and wife. And that's what makes it so beautiful. It's a love story. And so I'm going to give you an overview of Song of Solomon, even though we won't get into it until tomorrow on our Old Testament Friday. I was going to start it this morning, but God just put in my heart to wait and do it all at one time on tomorrow. So today, we're going to be in the New Testament. And this is what it says, though, for Song of Solomon. So when we start it, we will be ready. And it says, the Song of Solomon, the author is Solomon. Though some wonder if the Song of Solomon is like the Song of David, which could mean they are by, for, or about him. They are by, for, or about him. The date Solomon ruled from about 790 to 930 B.C. In 10 words or less, to describe this book, it is married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. Married love, not stacking up love, but married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. As you know, we got to put a ring on it. As they say, he needs to put a ring on it. And he needs to find you. Not you find him, for my unmarried sisters out there and brothers. You know, brothers, you need to find her, and sisters, he needs to find you. And I love this description. It says, a dark-skinned beauty is marrying the king, and both are thrilled. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes, he tells her, and thirst. in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant also, our bed is green, she responds. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16. Through 8 chapters and 117 verses, the two lovers admire each other's physical beauty, expressing their love and devotion. Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. You know, it's like, wow, they're getting all jiggy with it. You know, let him kiss me. You want to be loved by your husband. You want to be loved by your wife. And, you know, and it just goes on to say, let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for the love is, for thy love is better than wine. Chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was, to 2, verse 4. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. 8 and 7. Unique and unusual about the Song of Solomon is this. Like the book of Esther, Song of Solomon never mentions the name God. And here's our so what. God made marriage for husband and wife enjoyment, and that marital love can be a picture of God's joy in his people. What a beautiful word. You know, it's going to be great. And so when I was studying this morning, I thought I was going to have all of this, you know, because our title today is One Body in Christ. But God told me, you know, as I was getting ready to start Song of Solomon chapter 1, to go to the New Testament. And so that's what I'm going to do. We're going to finish out 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we're going to go into our title word, which is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we may have a psalm or a proverb today. I do not know until God tells me so. So I'm going to do what I'm told to do and not be wayward. I'm going to be obedient because I love God and I know he loves me. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a very humble heart today, thanking you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I ask you forgiveness for spending more time on things that were not important than on the things that I needed to, which is you, God. So, Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father, are my strength and my redeemer. You are my Father, God. You are the one that wakes me up in the morning. You are the one that puts me to sleep at night. You are the one that gives me peaceful rest. So, Father, God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and am glad in it. For I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your daughter, to be your child, to be your friend. For, Lord, God, you are my everything. And all I can say this morning is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. As I decrease, Lord, in you. And Father God, I lift up my pastor today who is traveling. And I ask you, Lord God, to give her traveling grace and mercy to her destination. Lord God, may all things work for good. Because she trusts in you, Father God. As she brings a word this week for her family, Lord God, let it be a rhema word. As you've given her a rhema word for us, I ask you to give her a rhema word for her family. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you. I ask you, Lord God, to be over our service tonight. As I go forth, I ask you, Lord God, to lead and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. As we get ready to go into our Corinthians word this morning, I just want to remind you what 1 Corinthians is about And it says the Apostle Paul was the assistant of the Ephesians, approximately AD 55 to 57. The 10 words or less for this book is an apostle tackled sin problems in the church of Corinth. There was a sin problem in Corinth. And Paul has given us all what he feels we should do as men and women of God because we are one body in Christ. Can y'all say with me, I am part of the body of Christ. And it tells us that Paul helped found the church of Corinth in Acts chapter 18, but then moved on to other mission fields. Because remember, he was an apostle. His job was to build churches. His assignment was to bring more Gentiles into the body of Christ. And it goes on to tell us, it says, he learned of serious problems in Corinthian congregation and writes a long letter to address these issues. For those arguing over who should lead the church, Paul urges that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And that was, we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. For a man involved in an immoral relationship with his stepmother, remember that. That was what this all started about, was sexual immorality within the church body. And he tells us, put away from amongst yourselves that wicked person in chapter 5, verse 13. For those church members filing lawsuits against other, Paul warns, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We read that in chapter 6, verse 9. The apostle also teaches on marriage, Christian liberty, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection of the dead. In the famous 13th chapter, which we'll be reading also today, it talks about love. Again, one body in Christ in love. We love each other. And it goes on to tell us, Paul describes the mere excellent way in 12 and 31, that of charity or love. Quotable, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, he is the foundation, and we are the body, and we are one with Christ, or we should be one with Christ. And as we continue to take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Chapter 8, verse 9. And then we go on to, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. For as often as you eat this bread, I get filled up every time I read this scripture. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so the Lord's death till he comes. So I speak with the tongues of men and angels, this is our word also for today, and have not charity, I have not love. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Unique and unusual about 1 Corinthians, refuting opponents who question his apostleship, Paul insists that he is as much an apostle as Jesus' original disciples. Am not an apostle, he asks in 1 Corinthians 9 and 1. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? He experienced Jesus. And God wants us to experience Jesus as well. He gave his son for our love, for our purpose, for our salvation. Through grace, we have become a body of Christ. How are you representing the body? Is a question we as Christians must ask ourselves. And so this what if says church problems are nothing new. neither is the way to correct them. Personal purity, self-discipline, love for others are vital for a congregation's success. And I'm going to read that one more time. Church problems are nothing new. Neither is the way to correct them. Personal purity, self-discipline, and love for others are vital to a congregation's success. And we want to be successful in the body of Christ. And our word for this morning is coming out of 1 Corinthians. I know we're a little different today. I knew I was coming out of the Song of Solomon. I was all ready to talk about marriage, but God said not today, tomorrow. So tomorrow will be Old Testament Friday with Song of Solomon. But today we are going to be in the New Testament, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 17 through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, time permitting. And it says this, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. But first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. But there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat of the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and no one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this, I do not praise you. We got folks causing divisions within the church body. God is speaking through Paul to tell folks we got to get together. We know we got haves, have-nots, but the have should not be lording their haves over the have-nots. We are all one body in Christ. And it says this, for I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night, oh, thank you, Lord, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and we read this every first Sunday in our churches as we do communion, our first Saturdays as we do communion, to remember who we belong to. We are one body in Christ. He gave his life and his blood for us. We cannot take the Lord's Supper in vain. He will not hold you harmless who takes his supper in vain. We got to do self-evaluation before you take that bread and drink from that cup. Because to be one in the body of Christ, we have to act like it, and we have to do our assignment. And it says this, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. We mean many are dead. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we may not be condemned with the world. That we may not be condemned with the world, because we are the body of Christ. Therefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Let's come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Paul was getting the church ready. He was getting them in order. And we got to be in order too. So we represent God. And the thing we do, we represent God. And we want to represent him in the best light, in the best of our ability, because he is that kind of God, and he loves us just like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We want to be directed by God. You know, Paul was trying to make sure the church understood the importance of God's supper and of the body of Christ. We are that body. I'm part of the body. You're part of the body. We're all part of the body, and we have to do our assignment. Stay in your square. As some say, get in your lane. Stay there until God calls you to move to another lane. But if God didn't call you to move, you need to stay where you are, because then you're out of order and you're messing up the whole workings of the body. And I just want to give my quick disclaimer this morning. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And again, I am not paid by Dr. Stanley or any of his ministries to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, as I tell you every day, this Bible is one of the best Bibles to get in your biblical arsenal. It is fantastic. I love the life lessons because they're on point. It's the things that I would even say myself. And I'm so grateful for Dr. Stanley for putting it all down for me to read it to you. And the life lessons from this chapter is this, Corinthians 11 and 22. Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? While we all come to faith as individuals, God calls us to express our faith in community. When we act without consideration for other members of Christ's body, we despise the church he died for. You know, come on now. If you can help somebody, help them. If you're doing something and you know someone else wants to do it but maybe don't have the funds, then volunteer to cover for them. God knows your heart. God knows what you can afford. God knows what you can do. God knows when you have, and he go knows when you have not. But we trust God because we are one in Christ, one body in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's Supper is not only looking back at Christ's sacrifice and giving him praise for his willing obedience to the Father, but also looks ahead to that day when we will see him again and reign with him in power. Hallelujah. We got to understand who we belong to. We are all part of the body of Christ, and we are waiting for his return. But we got to act like it. We got to show who we are and who we belong to. We are his body, and we have to act like it. And as Dr. Stanley says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 32, when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We are not of this world, and we got to quit acting like it. We cannot be idolaters. We cannot follow after every willow in the wind. We got to stand firm on the word of God. And it says God does not discipline his erring children because he's disgusted with them, but because he wants to spare them the greater pain that comes because of persistent disobedience. His mercy prompts his discipline. Don't get mad when you get disciplined by God, because it's because he loves you that he disciplines you, just like a parent who loves a child will discipline that child so they don't go down the wrong road. God wants us to walk on our square. He wants us to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is our word for this morning that's coming out of. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says this, now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ. And he is my Savior. And I claim him. I claim him as my friend. I claim him as my bridegroom. I claim him as everything he is to me. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. We got to have a I love you, Jesus, in our spirit because we are one with him. We are one in Christ. And it says that there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, like Solomon, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. To another, faith, hallelujah, by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit, thank you, God. For as the body is one, did y'all catch that? For the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And I don't, as I spoke on yesterday, I did not get physically baptized until I was in my 50s. I was 52 years old when I was baptized. No, 53 years old when I was baptized. 53. But then God showed me again. 5 is a new beginning. I had to go into that water and be baptized to be born again for a new beginning. That was God, because I had been in the depths of despair. But God said, you got to be born again. To die is to live, and to live is to die. We got to die to sin, to live in Christ as one body. Whew, Lord, thank you. I had to be baptized before I could come in. I had to be baptized. Before I could preach that first sermon, I had to be baptized to understand the enormity of what Jesus did for me, what he did for you. We've got to be baptized in the Spirit of God. I'm thankful I have never been in the water. 53 years of life, I've been sprinkled. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I went under the flag, but I had never get baptized. God told me I had to go all the way in because I had a fright of water at a point. But God said, ah, you're going to be all right. You're not going to drown in the baptismal pool, but you got to be born again. So he birthed me. Hallelujah. First with the Holy Spirit. As a 13-year-old, got all filled up, got emotional, crying, not flying, as I'm preaching to my parents. And they looked at me like I had lost my mind. Like, what is wrong with this girl? Because I'm not sure we should be sending her to the Salvation Army. Because I don't know what's going on in that youth group. But if she's coming back to trying to preach to somebody, you know, but my parents were saved. And they understood that I was filled up. And all my mom did was just come and hug me. And then my dad hugged me. And they said, we understand. Because they already were saved. And it took a year's time for me to be saved. As a 13-year-old, I was changed. I got a lot kinder. Because God knows this sister was something else. I was one of them great kiddos. I would cuss you out. And they just say, throw that rock in my mind. Call you everything but a child of God. Had a nasty little mouth. I'm just being honest. And I got it back. And my youngest son was a little cursor. And I didn't understand where he got the words from because we didn't curse in our house. But he learned how to curse from his classmates and could curse really well. And I had to ask God again, forgive me, Lord, for my bad mouth when I was his age. But I was sneakier than him. I would cuss you out and nobody would know because I looked so sweet and nice. I just was looking at and you see those cute little buttons. They didn't know I had a filthy mouth. Didn't know it. Cussed you out because I was little and couldn't. But then I learned how to fight and I would beat you up and hurt you because I would pick up stuff and hit you with it and cuss you out. I'm just being honest. I was not a good kid. I was good and I was not good. I had good and I had bad. But God, 9 years old, I remember getting saved, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 13, and I got called at 17. And I never thought about the numbers called you when it's your time. And it was my time at 13 to feel the Holy Spirit in me. By the time I was 16, I was upset when I heard lukewarm messages, you know, because I got into them fiery messages. I wanted to hear the fire and brimstone. I wanted to hear the real deal. I wanted you to preach Revelation, and you preaching lukewarm stuff, and not even biblically correct, because I was looking at my Bible, because I carried it, because I learned that, and I thank God every day for the Salvation Army. You know, I would do that shout out, and I would tell you, Salvation Army is where I accepted the Holy Spirit in my life and where I was called to minister. I thought I was going to be a Salvation Army officer, but that was not my calling. That was not where God was placing me. He said I was going to be a wife first before he called me to finish the assignment that he had given me at 17. 53. Baptized. And it says this, these were apostles, but by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. But in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am a hand, I'm not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God remembers each one of them in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If everybody in the church is preaching and nobody is hearing, that's not what God wants. We got to be hearers. We got to be doers. We got to be members of the body. We all have an assignment. Let's see what those assignments are. Let's keep reading. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head, I have no much rather those members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Can I say it again? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We got to be happy for each other. We got to be grateful and happy for each other. You can't get mad at Sister Susie, because Sister Susie got an inheritance, and Sister Susie is doing better than she was because somebody left her some money. I don't feel that nonsense, but she was blessed. God loves us like that. But the bottom line is we can't get mad at Sister Susie, and you can't be bumming off of her either. Because you don't know her story. Love each other. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We got to rejoice with our brothers and sisters when they do good. Sister Anne graduated from college. Rejoice in it. I was so happy. My church really stood up when my granddaughter graduated from John Hopkins. And now she has a job she loves, which just totally out of her everything that we thought she was going to do. Because you always want your kids to be better than you did. But she's happy in what she's doing. They love her where she works, which is awesome. You know, we got to be grateful. We got to rejoice when our kids do well. And we got to pray when we know they could do better. And again, we pray for each other. We don't worry. We pray. We push. We pray until something happens. And it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now here's where we go. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Folks, I've heard that says, oh, well, there's no more apostles. You know, that position doesn't exist anymore. Well, I do believe there are people that are still creating churches who should be titled apostles, because they're out making Christians and building churches. They're building them up, those that may exist, and creating others. So apostles are still in the midst. So first apostles, second prophets, and I like to add prophetess, third Peter. Oh, after that miracle, the gift of healing. My pastor has a gift of healing. Believe me, I have experienced it. Help administration. We got some great people that work in our administration. Shout out to our church secretary, assistant Carla, who is all that. Varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Absolutely not. Are all prophets? Absolutely not. Are all teachers? Absolutely not. Some folks cannot teach and don't need a job. But if that's their calling, then they're going to try and they're going to succeed. But the bottom line is you got to ask God, Lord God, what is my calling? And as we go forth, it says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And I'm not talking gibberish. I'm talking language, because that's what tongues were. They were speaking in another language, and they were speaking to someone who interpreted. We have to be very careful how we speak in tongues. When we speak in a spiritual tongue, that is between us and God and does not need to be all over. You got to watch that. Do not do all interpret. You got it? Tongues interpreter. But I just desire the best gift, and yet I show to you a more excellent way. We got to love each other. And as we get back into this word, these are what the Bible says in life lessons. What the Bible says is what Dr. Stanley tells us. But chapter 12, there is great diversity in the body of Christ. There are many parts and roles, but they all come together in Jesus. Can y'all say it with me? We all come together in Jesus. In John 17:23, Jesus prays for believers. Excuse me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Along with the unique work of others, you have a part in building the kingdom of God. And Christ works in the entire process to bring success for the effort. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells you why God gave you such unique gifts and attributes. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit of all. We are one in Christ. God gives you distinctive abilities because the church needs you. We need musicians in our church. And I believe God is sending them one at a time. Hallelujah. But we had to get ourselves together first as a praise team. And I tell you, it has been pleasurable coming to choir rehearsal. It's been pleasurable singing with the praise team. It is a magnificent group of people because we are one, and it shows. The Lord could do his work in the world without you, but because of your unique relationship with him and his desire for fellowship with you, he includes you in his work. God includes us in his work. And the question becomes, is there any area which you could use your gifts and talents in the service of other believers? Write down any area you can think of and pray that God will reserve that place he has for you in the body. If you are sitting in the pew, ask God, Lord, show me where you need me. I'm being honest. I was one of those pew setters. Even though I knew I was supposed to teach, even though I knew I was supposed to be working, even though I knew I was called to preach, even though I knew all these things, I was sitting. That though, as soon as 9 o'clock, I went to the 9 o'clock service so I could be home by 11 to watch the game because the Bears were playing. I was not planning on doing any work. I came in, got my word, got my spirit filled up for the week. I got my refill, and I was out. Until I got pulled in to Vacation Bible School. Thought I was going to help, and the next thing I know, it's 20 years later, and I'm still doing what I did for God. It's hard to say it. I am very grateful. Here I go, y'all. We be minister. Call me Jeremiah right now, because I am so filled up because I love God so that, you know, someone called me out of the pew. And I know it was God, because I was supposed to work in the body and not just be an active minister. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. At the time they came in faith to Christ, every believer receives at least one spiritual gift, not merely to encourage and build up their own life of faith, but more particularly to build up the faith of the whole church. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. God distributes spiritual gifts as he sees fit, while church can and should pray that it be granted the greatest gift. Individual believers are never encouraged to request specific gifts. If your gift is not to be a prophet, don't try to take up the position of a prophet or a prophetess. If that is not your gift, don't covet other gifts. Ask God, what is my gift? What have you given me? And watch him work. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. This verse gives the reason for Paul's instruction to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We belong to each other. We should desire the welfare of each other. And as we get into chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, it says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding breath or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all knowledge, though I have no faith, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love separates itself, is not pumped up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly. But then face to face, now I know in part. But then I still know just as I also am known. And now abide faith. Ooh, I love faith is the ministry that God gave me because I had to learn to be fearless. I had to learn to trust in God because he had given me an anointing. And I knew that I was going to be healed by the blood of Jesus from what I was going through. We got to keep God faith because we are all one body in Christ. But this is the word that God has given us, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. As the body of Christ, we have got to love each other. We got to love each other. We are one body in Christ, and we have got to love each other. I can't hate you. I can't go and talk about you. I can't tear you down. I need to build you up because I love you, and you love me because we are one with Christ. Three, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love does mean action, but it means more than that. A person can literally give up his life for others, the supreme self-sacrifice, and yet do it without love. Love has a caring element that prompts its action. Love is an action word. 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. God never gave any of his children a complete picture of what he was doing or what he planned to do. Can you imagine the arrogance that would result if he had? Instead, we need to depend upon each other. God gives us some things, but he don't give us everything, so that we do depend on him and we depend on each other because we're all moving parts, main body. 1 Corinthians 13:13, now by faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Hope will disappear in heaven because we will already have everything we've ever hoped for. Faith will not be required since we will see the King in his glory. But love will remain forever. All I can say is thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this awesome word this morning. Thank you all for joining me today. As we go through our word of God, I can only say God is good and his mercy endures forever and ever, and he is great and greatly to be praised. Thank God with me today. For you are my body. I am your body. We are the body of Christ. And that is our word for this morning. If there is anyone God has given a word to, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Or on your social media, you can push on the, and your line will be opened as well. Because we have got to learn as children of God to love each other, to know that we are all one body in Christ. All this hateful rhetoric that's going on, we got to stop. We got to stop it because God is watching everything we do. And he is wanting us to be lovers of him. But we are all together. Because when we go as one. A house divided will not stand. A church divided will not continue. We don't want to be a divisive church. And when I say church, I mean a collective church. Those who are believers, we cannot be divided in our devotion to our Father, in our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to love each other. And the word that God gave me in my prayer for this September 1st day, this first day of the 9th month, is this hope in the light. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. And all y'all know after we finish the Song of Solomon, we will be going into Isaiah. And all I can say is, whew, it's going to be a great word. That's all I got to say because I'm getting all excited again. And it says in this word for our prayer for this morning, restore, you are an expert at taking worn out old things and making them new. You always make a way when there seems to be no option. You form oasis in the desert. Who is there like you? Who turns mountain paths into treasure troves? You are incredible. Keep my mind set on you. When I start to forget how wonderful you are in your constant creativity, reveal your goodness in my life in a new way. God, I submit my life to you and harness myself to you. Your leadership is unlike any other I've ever known. My humble heart is joined to your reliable love. Have your way in my life and touch each part with your resurrection power. When I'm struck, when I'm stuck in negotiate thinking, I'm sorry, when I am stuck in a rut of negative thinking and patterns, I need the power of your renewal. I know you won't let me. You are the fix of my life. And our question for the day is, what new things God doing in your life? And as we wrap it up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Carolyn has not sent a word. She was traveling on yesterday, and I'm sure that she is probably resting this morning, so I will have a word from her, I'm sure, God willing, on tomorrow. And all I got to say is, if you know Sister Carolyn, she is celebrating her first grandchild, first birthday today. So happy birthday to our little Tinkerbell, who I call Angel Baby. So I thank God for our sister in Christ and what she contributes to this broadcast every day. So thank you all for listening in. And just a reminder, we are all one body in Christ Jesus, and that all he asks of us is to love each other. Love conquers all things. Love trumps hate every time. Love trumps hate every time. So love your brothers and your sisters. Love your family. But when you go as a Christian out the door, you are representing Jesus Christ. And we want to represent him well in all we do. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a wrap. Again, we got 2 minutes. If there's anyone that got a word, now's the time. Well, we'll pray out because nobody has got a word this morning. And I thank God that we all have received a word from him. Again, increase and let God decrease. And I say to all of you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you and I are all part of the same body. You are my family, and I love you. There's not one thing you can do about it but love God as much as you love yourself. Have a blessed day, family. Love yourself, but first and foremost, always love the Lord your God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, his body, and give us faith. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap, and this girl's got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Join me tomorrow as we are in the Song of Solomon and our Psalm of Solomon. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. This time it is my final closing.